Welcome to this episode of SMP Stories. I'm your host, Director of Training, Ryan Coyman. And with me today is Efren Rivera, who's our Enterprise Infrastructure Director. Did I get that correct?
You got it right.
All right, perfect. I've known Efren for a long time, but it's the role and the title, as we all seem to change a little bit here. But so explain for the listening audience, enterprise infrastructure.
Yeah, that's just a fancy title. As I was telling you earlier, I was happy with just being a manager. I like to be in low key. Brian Schultz is to blame for that one. He wanted to give me something fancy. And he gave me something that started with enterprise and ended with director. And, you know, he put me in a spotlight that I like to kind of stay away from. So that's a title going forward.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out here today and sharing a little bit of your story and what you do here. But so how long have you been with SMP?
So I've been with SMP for 25 years. I started back in April of 98. And I stopped in May of 99. I was working with the temp agency, Manpower. I was working at the Grapevine facility where I was going to college, and I was clutching compressors for those 13 months. I graduated from college, and Dan Valens brought me back in July of 99 as a full-time employee at the Grapevine facility in the help desk capacity.
Wow. That's an inspiration in itself. I mean, you started as a temp working on the shop floor installing components, right?
That is correct. And it was never my intention to stay here. You know, it's a long story. That's another story of how I got here. But I was brought in as a temp agency. I had promised Manpower, a lady by the name of Gigi, that I would stick around for at least 12 months. And she was very adamant that, you know, I had to stick here for 12 months. And I said I would. And because I needed about 12 months at that time to graduate from college. So I knew what I had to do to get through college. And actually, it was exactly 12 months. I graduated from college. In between there, I met Dan Valens. And Dan Valens was the one who promised me that before I even graduated, for me to give him my resume, to bring me on full time, and it just worked out. Awesome. when you're at the floor, the only thing you see is warehouse. You don't see no systems, and I was green and I didn't understand. So luckily I found a place where I now call it home, and I've been here for 25 years.
Awesome. Have you followed up with Gigi to let her know that you've exceeded her expectations 25 times over?
I actually tried to call her once, but I think she was already gone.
Okay.
So she didn't last the 12 months, apparently.
Nice. And so you're currently in the Louisville facility, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yep. So what does a typical day look like for you?
It starts off early. I start off about 5:15. I get on my phone, 5:15 a.m. I check my emails. I have a lot of communication with Asia and Europe. So I'm checking my emails strictly for that. And just to kind of see if anything happened while I was asleep across the rest of the organization. I address my direct manager's concerns throughout the day. A big part of my day is driven by the challenges that present themselves throughout the day and focus on our IT projects. I attend several meetings that are normally scheduled by other departments that need IT guidance and support. When I leave the office, I continue to check my emails throughout the day, the evening, until about 11 p.m. And just to make sure nothing happened, I check it about every hour. And sometimes, unfortunately, I will get calls in the middle of the night to address urgent issues.
Wow. Yeah. No. And we certainly appreciate that, as most of us sleep comfortably, hoping that this stuff is happening behind the scenes and that it's all going to work normally the next day. But
and we are lucky when we're able to go to bed and go to sleep, because sometimes something will happen at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock right before we go to bed, and we're up all night. And, you know, we just had one of those issues last week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that's the joys of being a global company and having a global role like that, that, you know, touches multiple content continents. And
yeah,
yeah, so you're six to, well, how far,
it's
how
24/7.
Far, how many hours off are you?
You know, it's 7 hours, 7-8 hours, but you know, we're going 24/7. Yep. We need it.
Wow. No, and I've seen just a small glimpse of that with working with some of the teams in Germany and Hungary and Poland, and just all the different tests that we've had to do to make sure the emails were working and they were able to access different pieces of our business. So, yeah, that's all the little stuff that not many people think of, but certainly appreciate. And I don't know how else to say it, but freak out when it doesn't work properly.
Well, but it's a lot easier to manage it today than what it was 15, 20 years ago. I mean, a lot of people don't remember, but every facility at one time had their own individual Exchange server. They had their own individual domain controller. They had their own Wi-Fi configuration. Every location was almost like a little island. And today we're a one company today, and a lot of individuals who were not here don't appreciate that.
Correct.
All the changes we have done. And the people who have been here for 20, 25 years, they've kind of forgotten where we were and where we came from as a company. And now we have one Exchange environment, one domain controller, one configuration for Wi-Fi and so forth. JD Edwards, a big one, of course, that took that team a long, very long time to implement across our whole organization. But we now are a one company when it comes to systems.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, that's, a lot of people might not appreciate what goes into that. Even from some of my own team, trainers who are out on the road day in and day out almost feel like a team of one at some point. And you're like, why can't I just go stop at Best Buy and buy a new laptop? Like, no, you know, we're part of a larger corporation, and you know, we don't see it every day, but we are. And there's rules and regulations and reasons for this, so everything works seamlessly.
And that's a question I get asked all the time. Well, I can get it cheaper at Best Buy. And so, well, you probably can, but it doesn't have an enterprise OS. It has a home OS that will not function on this network. And they don't understand that. They just, the only thing they see is the price tag is $300 versus $1,800.
Right.
And it's all in the, what you're going to get. Is it a home device or is it a corporate device?
Yep. Yep. Well, we definitely appreciate employees trying to save the company money here, but
definitely.
But there's always a rhyme and reason behind it.
Exactly.
You mentioned that you started as a temp while you're going to college. Also, that answers some of the other questions here of how long you've been in the industry. But any other jobs you did prior to coming to S&P, like high school jobs, early college jobs?
You want to go that far back?
Oh, absolutely.
Man, I actually, and a lot of people think I'm, you know, I'm exaggerating, but I actually started working at the age of 11 in Chicago. I always wanted to work, and I actually went into a movie theater when at the age of 11, and I started talking to, I guess, the owner as a little kid. And finally, after several weeks of going in there, he said, well, are you looking for a job? I said, yes. And he actually gave me a job of, after each movie was over, cleaning up the theater. So I would run in there and help the crew clean the theater out real quick. And actually during intermission, this is when, you know, nowadays we don't have intermission.
They just swap out the old film reels.
Yeah. Well, something, you know, but I knew it was time to go get hot dog and some drinks and, you know, and, but, so, and the funny part, this is back in 1983. I remember real well. And, Scarface was the main premiere. So I don't know, I got to see Scarface about 30 times, I think, at the age of 11.
Awesome.
And it's still my favorite movie today. I wonder why.
But, right.
And so I started working there, and also that was on Saturdays. So the guy would hire me on Saturdays. I'd come in on Saturdays. On Sundays, not too far away from where I used to live, we had an ice cream truck where all the trucks departed from there. They would load up, get ready. So on Sundays, I would go to the ice cream truck and park, and I would ask for a job there, and they would take me on the truck. So we would be gone from 8, 9 in the morning, get back home at 10 p.m. on Sundays. So that was my Saturday and Sundays growing up pretty much in Chicago. And also by the age of 12, I had 3 paper routes. So I would leave at 5 in the morning to go deliver paper and also collect the money for those papers that I used to deliver. And then, well, eventually we left Chicago And there was a lot of things I did in between, and we could that's a long story. But right before I came to S&P, I was working for a company for a law firm, Condos and Condos, and they're based in Addison. I still think they're probably still there, and they manage multiple businesses. They own multiple businesses. So I manage a travel discount membership club, Hotel Express International. And eventually it was sold out to somebody in Europe. So as last I know, and I checked it a while back, they were still in operation. So it's a very known discount travel membership club. And I managed that one. But I also, because they knew I had bartending skills, I was a bartender in some of their nightclubs as needed. They were going to open up a new nightclub or they needed some help. They were just calling me up. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? So, you know, I knew they were wanting me to go bartend in one of the nightclubs. I'm ready. I was ready to go. The last nightclub that I opened up for them, and it was their grand opening day, was the Lizard Lounge. And sometimes I'll throw that name out and some people's like, no way, you worked there before? And, yeah, I actually did the grand opening and worked a few days there. So what did I do at Hotel Express International? I managed a small staff. I kept up with agreements between the hotels and the Hotel Express International, and I assisted with sales of their membership on different country distributorships and individual membership sales as needed, because I knew how to speak Spanish and they just needed somebody to help in those areas.
Nice. So it sounds like enterprise just isn't a title you have now, but you've been enterprising for many years here.
Yeah.
Doing different things.
Exactly.
Having known you for many years, I know you're a diehard Cowboys fan.
Man, you're really going to rub that one in, huh?
No. So Efren's a Bears fan. And, you know, I think you may have tipped off a little bit as to why with your upbringing in Chicago, but tell us a little bit more about the family history. You know, always in Chicago. When did you move to Texas?
So I was born in Chicago in '72, and I lived there till somewhere in, I would say, May of '85, and we moved out. We moved away from Chicago in '85, so I didn't get to see the '85 Bears play. So
even as a Michigander here, and you know, hard to say a Lions fan, that's still memorable sports moments with McMahon and the fridge. Yeah, and
definitely. And every opportunity I get, I'll go see them. And anytime they have some kind of a showing or something where they come up, I'll make sure I'm there and I try to get their autograph in person. But awesome. We left in '85, the summer of '85, and we left to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that was very short-lived. We were there for a few months. That was an interesting time in our lives. And from there, like I said, that was short-lived. So in the year of '85, we then moved to Mexico, Juarez. From my mother's side, actually also my father's, but I have a lot of family in Juarez, Mexico. So we actually moved there. And I got introduced to hard labor at that point. So I was working at the brickyards. I was working with the brickyards with my grandfather, and we were making bricks and adobe. So that was a very, very a good introduction to hard labor to a young kid that didn't know anything about working hard except working in a movie theater, riding in trucks, and
right.
And so that really got me thinking of, man, I want to go to college. this hard labor is just not good.
Yep. Some people will say on a job like that, you don't learn a whole lot. Well, you do learn a lot, right?
Yes. So in '86, we moved into El Paso, and my career is working the hard labor continued on there in construction. So I was at that age, you know, I can't remember what age I was, probably 15 or so, 14, 15. I was driving Bobcats and dump trucks and all that, and just working on my own with my father. And in '89, we moved to Manchester, New Hampshire. So we went back to the Northeast.
Wow.
So we were there for a few years. until my senior year in 91. 91 is when we moved to Dallas. I could have easily gone to Asia, but that's a whole different story. My father went on to different parts of Asia. Me, my siblings, and my mother, we stayed here in Dallas. And ever since then, we've never left Dallas. So we've been here since 91.
Wow. Yeah, so you planted some roots there, and you're done moving for a while.
Yeah, definitely. We, I graduated here, and then in 92 from Woodrow Wilson High School. I got married in 94. I actually worked three jobs through my college career because I got married in 94. And one of the things that everybody was concerned about was, here I am, a sophomore in college. My wife, my future wife, was a sophomore in college as well in SMU. And everybody thought we were going to get married and college will no longer be in our future goals. That's going to be just, a dream. No, I worked three jobs. And as I promised my in-laws, I was going to get it through college, and she graduated in 96. I didn't graduate in 96. Working three jobs ain't going to happen.
Right.
So I graduated in 98.
Still very impressive to juggle all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you put your mind to it, it doesn't matter. Just do it. Yep. Just do it. So, I think, my parents, I mean, a little bit more about myself. And my parents came to this country as illegal immigrants back in 71. My immediate family's here. My mother, my kids now, my wife, my siblings, the majority of them. Two of them stayed up in New Hampshire. They love that life. And they stayed up there, and they've been up there since we left. So that's my life experience.
Awesome. Yeah. No, and that tells a lot about who you are and why you're answering phones at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, I appreciate that hard work and dedication to make you who you are today. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, just like I tell everybody, well, what makes you you? I mean, mm-hmm. And I've been asked that question multiple times. I said, well, I just tell everybody that, just like anybody else, our life experience is what makes us. And the mm-hmm. mentors and the mentors you choose in your life.
Right.
My mentors are, and I feel I've had four mentors in my life. And, of course, my father and my mother being one of those, mm-hmm. two out of the four. And they show me responsibility, and they show me, how to work. Mm-hmm. Another one was, a pastor by the name of Zane C. Hodges. He's no longer with us, but spiritually, the Word of God, my pastor Zane Hodges, and that's a person I do miss, along with my father. My father's no longer with us either. And the fourth one is a person that I deal with on a daily basis is Ray Nicholas. Hmm. So those are the four individuals that I have taken on as mentors and in my life, and those are the people that have made who I am today, along with the experiences that I've had.
Absolutely.
Living in all these different cities and states across the United States and Mexico.
Awesome. Yeah. Yep. No, it's very important to recognize that and understand that. And hopefully, a couple of those people before their passing mm-hmm. had the opportunity to understand the impact that you made on their life.
Exactly.
And vice versa here. So flip the script here a little bit. When it comes to listening to music, who's some of your favorite artists that you might listen to?
Well, as I told you, I lived in many places. So I've been influenced.
That's why I can't wait for this answer.
Well, I've been influenced by many places where I lived. And of course, growing up with my father, it was always Spanish country music. So I grew up in Norteñas. So that was my first type of music that I enjoy. I hear it throughout the day. Sometimes it's mostly by myself because it brings a lot of memories.
Yep.
And, it stirs up emotion. So Norteñas is one of them. Another one, of course, living in Chicago back in the early 80s, breakdance was the big thing. So, yep. So a lot of rap. So I listened to rap here and there, and mostly what I hear now with my friends. And El Paso and Juarez, even though Norteñas was still a big one in Juarez, but I grew up with a lot of cholos, local gang group there in Juarez, El Paso. So I listened to a lot of oldies and goodies. a lot of just old music, you know, that they always listen to. And I just kind of grew up with it as well. And I enjoy it. I love it. Living in New Hampshire, a lot of rockers. So I love to hear Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC. And I have all that. Actually, I have a lot of that music saved on my hard drive in the Jeep. So when I'm driving the Jeep and the black Jeep, of course, I have to throw on the Black Sabbath right away. Yeah. So living awesome. Here in Texas now, it's a lot of country music and a lot of top 40s. But yep. if you were to ask me, what are some of the artists? I would say Prince, Lenny Kravitz, and sticking with Norteña, Los Tigres del Norte. Those are the ones. Those are the three ones I would say that are my favorite.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I love it. And again, now understanding what makes you. And, you know, the choice of music goes right along with that.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you get a chance and you're not answering phones or putting out fires here, you know, is there other stuff that you go, you know what, that looks really cool. I'd like to do that someday as a profession, either in the company or outside the company.
Well, definitely mentor and teach. I like to get with young individuals who have their dreams in front of them and their goals in front of them. And I love to get with them, listen to them, try to understand their story. Mm-hmm. Their, you know, what are their goals? What are the challenges to get to those goals? And give them some piece of advice, just like my mentors have given to me. And of course, one thing I keep saying is one day I'll retire and I'll rent some jet skis on the beach.
going back to working in that ice cream truck, right?
Yeah, just something simple. I want to throw my cell phone away, my watch away. I don't want to worry about time anymore and just enjoy the simple things in life.
Amen. Absolutely. Along with that, any personal goals or achievements you'd be willing to share with the audience here?
Definitely. Going back to what we were just talking about earlier, is graduating, both my wife and I. I mean, that was a big mm-hmm. challenge in our lives. A lot of people didn't think it was going to happen. We got married. They thought, you know, that was the end of it. And we were just going to, I don't know, not worry about college anymore. But that was never our goals. Our goal was to get married and finish college. And that was a big one. That was a big one that we both accomplished.
That's probably a big inspiration to your children then, too. Right?
It is big. But I think what's bigger is that my wife, at the age of 30, she used to work for Nokia when she graduated from SMU, because she has a computer science engineer degree. So she went straight working for Nokia at a programming capacity. And she would travel a lot between here and Finland, because she became a manager eventually. But at the age of 30, you know, the IT verbal bust in the technology field. And then Nokia was affected because they were starting to get competition with the BlackBerry and the smartphone, and they just never kept up, and Nokia went out of, pretty much failed at that point. I mean, they're still in business, mm-hmm. but not in the same capacity they were. So my wife didn't want to go back into the IT field. So we had just given birth. She had just given birth to our youngest, Jacqueline. And about 12 months later, she says, I don't want to go into the IT field no more. I want to be a doctor. I almost fell off my chair. It's like, how are we going to do this? You know, it's like we have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. How are we going to do this? And I asked her, well, what is it going to take for you to become a doctor? And she's like, 10 years, 9 to 10 years, a few years of pre-meds, because her bachelor's is not in the medical field. So she had to take 2 years of pre-meds. 4 years, you know, so many years more of college, internship, it's like 9 to 10 years. Well, we made it happen.
Wow.
And we had a lot of help. We had a lot of help. I mean, from her parents, my family, people here at S&P, they stepped up again from Ray Nicholas, from Rich Santor, from my staff. There's a lot of people I have to thank. But with the help of everybody, we made it work. 3 young children, my career. She's wanting to flip-flop her career into programming to the medical side. And that's what my kids grew up and appreciation and learning from my wife and her challenges. And we made it happen.
Wow.
And that's a big accomplishment there. Not necessarily us graduating from college when we were young and no kids, no major responsibilities. We just kept the promise and made it happen. But when you have three kids, the husband has a career and your wife wants to change careers and it's going to take 10 years to make it happen. And you know, medical school ain't cheap either.
Right. Yeah. No, like you said, wow. That's about all I can say.
It's just, yeah.
Kudos.
Well, that was almost 10 years ago now. So.
Wow.
And it almost still feels like yesterday. I still wake up shaking in the middle of the night.
Just like that, our half hour has passed here and we've learned a lot about Efren and the family and the job and everything here. So any final thoughts to pass along to the audience before we wrap this up?
I mean, I just want to thank everybody at S&P for the opportunity in providing an environment for anyone who truly wants to succeed can do so. Focus on your goals, short-term goals first, longer terms later. Don't worry about what the next person is doing. Just focus and about yourself, and you'll be able to accomplish those goals.
Awesome. Yeah, and you certainly have done that and led the way and been an inspiration, hopefully, for many years. So thank you for the time, Efren, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we will be talking at you in the next episode.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
SMP Stories.